Sports Desk at the Columbus Dispatch presents the Buckeye Extra Basketball Podcast.
With your host, Ohio State basketball beat writer Adam Jardy.
Now, the Buckeye Extra Basketball Podcast.
Hello, everyone. This is Adam Jardy from the Columbus Dispatch. Depending on where you are, it's either Friday, November 16th, 2018, or if, like me, you're in Omaha, Nebraska, then it is still Thursday, November 15th, 2018. Either way, it's my official duty to welcome you into episode 52 of the Buckeye Extra Men's Basketball Podcast. I'm coming to you live from my hotel room in downtown Omaha, where Ohio State tonight just finished off Creighton with a 69-60 win as part of the Gavitt tip-off games, moving the Buckeyes to 3-0 on the season. And even though we just brought you a podcast a couple of days ago, it seems like a pretty big win, kind of a big night, and with a 3-0 start to the season. Wanted to bring you something here live, well, not live, I guess. You're not going to be listening to this live, but bring you something from Omaha. It was quite the eventful day getting here. Maybe I'll get into that later, but got a lot to break down. This won't be as long as some of the regular podcasts that I put together on a weekly basis because it is rather late. It's 12:48 a.m. back home, but I just wanted to get some thoughts down and or some thoughts out about a big win here for Ohio State tonight. So before we do, remind you, you can subscribe to the podcast on iTunes. If you search for Buckeye Extra Basketball Podcast, that way you don't miss anything. This week there's two podcasts. Next week is a crazy busy week with multiple games for Ohio State and also a holiday in there. So if you're subscribed, it'll just pop right up on your phone, tablet, computer, whatever, and you won't miss anything. Please leave some positive reviews if you could. 5-star reviews, nice comments. My bosses care about that stuff. I actually checked the other day for the first time in a while, and there were some of you written some very nice things, and I just want to say thank you for that. Like I said, my bosses pay more attention to that than I do, but it is very much appreciated, so thank you. Now we're going to dive into the game, but first, let's take a quick break. We need to thank our sponsors. We'll be right back.
You have to stand behind a statement like the best buying experience in the business. Rosati Windows believes the right way to do business is really pretty simple. You have to be honest, you have to have integrity, and you have to care about what the customer is telling you and respond accordingly. Mike Rosati realizes that people have options when choosing replacement windows, which is why he trains all of his employees on the principle that the customer always comes first. Everyone who works at Rosati Windows cares about what they do and the product they put out, from sales, through manufacturing, to the installation, and all the way down until when they peel that last piece of film off the window. They are not going to leave your home until everything is right. It's this sort of commitment that Rosati Windows can proudly stand behind a statement like, Rosati Windows is the best buying experience in the business.
All right, and we're back. So getting into this Ohio State game here, it was a very interesting first half. We heard so much about what the atmosphere is like here in Creighton and how it's one of the most intimidating places to play. And it can just be incredibly loud and passionate fan base, and it was loud at times, and it was definitely a fun place to watch a game. But Ohio State did a pretty good job of weathering an early storm. They were trailing early, and then they put together a pretty strong run, and they were up. They're up 12 at the half. It was a 37-25 Ohio State win, and you really kind of felt like at that point they were in complete control. And the players after the game, and Chris Holtman said for the game, they knew that Creighton was going to make a run and was going to find a way to get back into it. But really, at halftime, there wasn't. You felt good about Ohio State, how Ohio State was playing. They had handled, like I said, some early punches from Creighton. They had sort of weathered the storm, and Keyshawn Woods just looked like a baller. Easily the best half that he had played of his five halves now with Ohio State. Keyshawn had 11 points in his first two games. He had 15 at the half against Creighton. Really carried Ohio State. C.J. Jackson was struggling. Caleb Wesson, we come to find out later, was dealing with, it looks like he's coming down with the flu, but he was limited with that. Luther Muhammad had some foul trouble. So there were some recipes there for disaster for Ohio State, but instead, Keyshawn had several big buckets. Dwayne Washington, who continues to not be the slightest bit afraid to take a shot of importance, had a couple of big buckets in the first half. And if you're Ohio State, you're going into the break feeling pretty good about yourselves. And then we saw some I don't want to say uncharacteristic mistakes. I'm not sure that we know exactly what this team is yet, but they turned the ball over on three of their first four possessions in the second half, and that, from my seat, which we actually sat courtside for this game, which was pretty awesome. But from my seat, I felt like you could feel the confidence grow from the Creighton fans and on the Creighton bench because they started to see some early success there in the second half. I mean, that was a chance very much like the Cincinnati game where Ohio State came out and played well, and they didn't really let off the gas too much. I mean, Cincinnati obviously made a run late, but I thought Ohio State did a pretty good job of weathering some storms better against Cincinnati than they did against Creighton. They came out in three turnovers on their first four possessions. Suddenly Creighton starts to cut into the game or into the lead, and then it's a dogfight down the stretch. And so the difference in this game compared to the Cincinnati game is that they did eventually surrender the lead, and that's something that Creighton has done a good job of coming back from double-digit deficits under Greg McDermott. I think I have the stat around here somewhere, but they've done a good job with it. Let's just go with that. Okay, Creighton owns 20 victories under Greg McDermott after trailing by double figures at some point, including already once this season when they were down 12 with 7 minutes left. 7 minutes left, excuse me. So this is a program and a coaching staff that is comfortable with coming back from being down, and in this case, they did that. So Creighton goes up with four with about 3 minutes to go, and then Ohio State just slams the door. And it started... Dwayne Washington answered a three-pointer immediately. So Creighton goes up four. Dwayne Washington comes down, and he just drains a three-pointer. Suddenly, it's a one-point game. C.J. Jackson, who had been 0-for-7 from the field to this point, and he had five turnovers in the game, easily his most difficult game of the season. And he airballed one of his threes. He just looked off. Creighton did a really good job of hedging on their screens and pressuring him off of ball screens, and he never really seemed to feel all that comfortable in the game. But Keyshawn Woods drives the basket, draws the defender, and he knew after the game talking to him, he said he knew either he was going to get a shot that he liked, or he was going to draw a defender and he was going to get CJ a good shot. Ends up getting the ball to CJ, who seemed to like hesitate for a second. I'm not sure if the ball slipped. That's what Holtman thought after the game, but gets off a shot and drills it. And then suddenly Ohio State's got the lead, and it just starts rolling from there. Next possession, again, Keyshawn driving, knew how Creighton was playing and how they were trying to defend. So he was able to draw a defender, get the ball to Kyle Young, who throws down a dunk. Next possession, C.J. Jackson with a floater in the paint. And C.J. hits a free throw. And Andre Wesson closes out with a pair of free throws. A 13-0 run to end the game. To take a four-point deficit with roughly 3 minutes left and to win by nine on the road against, yes, a Creighton team that is in a lot of ways they're reshaping their roster. Let's put it that way. Kind of like Ohio State is this season. So, you know, it's not like they went into Cameron Indoor and just beat Duke. But... this is a big win. This is the first time since 2002 that Ohio State has played two of its first three games against top 50 KenPom teams. They lost both of those last time. They win both of these. They're sitting here at 3-0. There's obviously some problems with this team. There's some issues with this team. They've got to get better defending the glass. They have to do a better job defensive rebound, especially with the smaller lineups that they're playing. At times, they have to do a better job taking care of the ball because they can get in these little spurts where they'll turn it over three times on four possessions and things like that. But this is a team that has now gone into Cincinnati and won. Had blown the doors off of Purdue-Fort Wayne team that I think is probably pretty decent, and now put away a Creighton team that is – I mean, they were picked ninth in the Big East this year, but it's still – it's a road win against a quality team in a quality conference. And so Ohio State's 3-0. It's kind of hard to really fathom that right now. They are receiving votes in the – even before this game, they were receiving votes in the Associated Press poll. I believe they're 34th nationally in that. Andy Katz over at NCAA.com had them in his power rankings, I think at 22 nationally. And with this win, they're up to number 29 nationally in KenPom. Now, I know these things don't mean a whole lot at this point in the season, but I don't think that anybody thought that Ohio State was going to be sitting here at 3-0 getting ready for this next stretch of games. So – what was one of the things that was most interesting to me was Keyshawn Woods and how he played so effectively in the first half. And so we did talk to him after the game. On road games, they bring two players out, and we do interviews in the locker room outside the hallway. And so talking to Keyshawn, he basically just said that he knew that CJ having two fouls and with Caleb being down with the flu, he said, I knew I had to take over, especially with the second group. which he's kind of playing with some of the reserves, kind of be more aggressive and get things going. It was interesting because, you know, he was asked, because I personally think that he's shied away from some moments. I don't think he's been aggressive enough. I don't think he's looked for his shot enough. And this is a guy that they need to score if they want to be a good team. And he said, we asked him, were you looking for your shot enough in the first two games? And he would say, they would say I wasn't, meaning his teammates. All of them will tell me I haven't been aggressive looking for my shot. And so then the immediate follow-up is, why? And this was an interesting answer. He said, I'm going to say I've been in my head mentally. Mentally, something was going on, but I've got my edge, I've got my love, my little flow now with my teammates having my back. I'm good to go. So have you gotten over it, was the follow-up? And he said, yeah, I'm good. So we asked Holtman about that, because then after Chris Holtman does, we do player interviews while he's doing a radio interview for if you're listening to the game on the radio. So then we asked Holtman about that, and said, you know, have you seen that? And he said, I don't know, because I thought he was pretty good at times against Cincinnati, and I thought tonight he just had it going and he made shots. I think with this team right now, we're going to see different guys have good nights on different nights, and some guys are going to struggle. We've got to turn it into the strength of this team, because when you don't have Kata and JT, I think the strength has to be different guys making different plays to help you win the game. This was a big step forward, I think, for Keyshawn. I think that now we have a little bit more of an idea that, yes, he can score at a high level and carry an offense, especially when things aren't going well. So kudos to him, because as CJ Jackson put it after the game, like, we don't win this game without Keyshawn tonight. So that was big for Ohio State. One of the things that I did mention earlier, the rebounding continues to sort of be an issue a little bit with this team, especially, like, I feel like there's spurts. And there was a possession in the second half where Ohio State ended up having to defend for like 74 or 76 seconds consecutively, because they allowed, it was three offensive rebounds and committed a defensive foul each time, resetting the shot clock. You can't do that. And Creighton wasn't able to make them pay. Weirdly enough, that possession ended with Creighton getting to the free throw line, missing a free throw. But you can't make those – you can't have possessions like that when you're playing teams like Creighton. So it's a credit to them that they were able to overcome stuff like that and find a way to win this game tonight. It's also a credit – I've talked already about CJ Jackson a little bit. He really struggled tonight. And a couple people noticed this, because it's just, you know, every once in a while you time things up. But I literally had just tweeted with about 3 minutes to go and Creighton up four. See, Ohio State does not win this game if CJ Jackson doesn't score. I just don't think this team is built to where they can withstand a night where CJ Jackson doesn't get on the stat sheet. Most amazing is that he had 25 points the other night. And, like, I mean, he hit three consecutive threes at one point, just, like, had a really strong all-around game. And then today he struggled. But with 3 minutes to go, down one, it's CJ Jackson who hits the game-winning three-pointer. And then he has a floater in the lane, and he has a free throw. His only 6 points all came in roughly the last 2.5 minutes. So, you know, I asked him about that, and he said, you know, he credited his teammates for telling him all game to stay aggressive and pick him up when he was struggling. So that's just kind of how CJ is. He's kind of wired to just deflect and to give the credit to his teammates. I did ask Holtman, did ask Chris Holtman about that, and he said that's what seniors do. If he doesn't take that shot, I'm not playing him, right? That's what seniors do, and he knows that. I'm not playing you in that moment if you're going to shy away from an open shot. That's kind of what he does, right? He shoots open threes, and he hesitated for a moment. Maybe didn't have a handle on the ball, but he knows he's coming out if he's not going to shoot that shot. We're starting to get a feel when it's a big moment in a game this season, they're going to look for CJ Jackson. That's a big step for him. He didn't have to be that guy, although he was that guy. Well, you think to the Indiana game last year, and there were other games where he would hit big buckets late, but he wasn't the guy that they looked to. I think that role is definitely starting to develop for CJ, where he's clearly starting to become that guy where when they need a bucket, he's the guy that they're going to look for. And so credit to him for knocking down that shot on a tough shooting night, and credit to Keyshawn for finding him and having the confidence in him to make that shot. I didn't mention earlier, too. So Caleb Wesson didn't have the most effective game tonight. He finished Well, I say that. He was 4 of 7 from the floor. He hit one of his 2 3-pointers. He had 3 rebounds, 2 fouls. He only played 21 minutes. He had an assist, 3 turnovers, 1 block, finished with 9 points. You could tell watching him on the bench, he was struggling. He was not feeling well. Somebody tweeted me and they said it looked like at one point he was basically gagging into a towel. And yeah, that definitely hamstrung Ohio State. So you think about, you had a night where you get 9 points from a flu-ridden Caleb Wesson. You get 6 points from C.J. Jackson and 5 turnovers. And you still find a way to win. It just, there's something about the cohesiveness of this group where they are further along in that regard than I think any of us thought they would be at this point in the season. There's clearly a long way to go, and we don't need to get too far ahead of ourselves, but I think it does say something about some of the guys, or the way that the players on this team are embracing each other and are understanding the culture that they want to have at Ohio State and the way that they want to play, because it's definitely, they're definitely seeing some early dividends with this. One other just sort of noteworthy thing I want to pass along, and this is not from the game tonight, but Wednesday was the start of the early signing period for college basketball. Ohio State received its first signature that afternoon. Alonzo Gaffney signed for Ohio State. EJ Liddell was scheduled to sign on Thursday, but the weather that has waylaid so many things today also pushed back his plans. So now he's officially signing on Monday, which is also when DJ Carton will be signing. So Ohio State will have its full class signed by the time we all wake up Tuesday morning, or presumably before when we go to bed Monday night. I don't know when you go to sleep, so I'll leave that up to you. But so now that we've got that done, we've got this game out of the way, what a stretch we have here. So now it gets busy. So with the Creighton game, Ohio State will play 4 games in 9 calendar days. On Sunday, they host South Carolina State. On Tuesday, they host Samford. And then on Friday, Black Friday, they host Cleveland State in a game at St. John Arena. Obviously, I'm very excited for that game, although the quality of Ohio State's opponent is not going to quite be what we saw through these first 3 games. Now, Cincinnati and Creighton, both top 50 KenPom opponents. Purdue, Fort Wayne, 182 nationally, but that's almost twice as good as South Carolina State. South Carolina State is 347 in KenPom. Samford is 282, and Cleveland State is 305. So Samford this season has played Brevard, which isn't a D1 school. I don't know what division they are. They won that, which I guess technically counts. And then they lost to Tulsa by 22, and that was an away game. They lost to Charleston Southern by 17. Now, something to think about with some of these teams, and it is what it is. This is how college basketball is set up, but South Carolina State's first 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 first 8 games are on the road, and then they host Voorhees on December 6th, and then they play 2, 3, 4, 5 more games on the road. So think about that, a stretch of 13 out of 14 games on the road. They will play USC Upstate, coached by former Ohio State associate head coach Dave Dickerson, So they got that later in the season. But that's Ohio State's next opponent, the Bulldogs of South Carolina State. And then, like I said, Samford on Tuesday, Cleveland State on Friday in St. John Arena. It's going to challenge Ohio State. I mean, there's going to be some quick turnarounds here going Sunday, Tuesday, and then Friday, the day after Thanksgiving. That always has the recipe for a letdown game. So it's going to be a busy time coming up. I'm likely going to sit down and knock a podcast out probably on Wednesday, so that as you're all sitting around with your families on Thanksgiving and eating turkey and whatever else you might enjoy on the holiday, you can put the podcast out in the background and everyone can bond together over how weird my voice sounds. So having said that, I'm going to get out of here because it's late and I've got a couple more stories to write. Please make sure you're checking BuckeyeXtra.com. I've been putting up a lot of content on there. There's just a lot of things to talk about, a lot of things to write about this point of the season. So hopefully you're enjoying it. As always, if there's something you think I should be doing, you can reach me at Adam Jardy on Twitter or ajardy@dispatch.com. I did mention earlier kind of a crazy travel day, and the last thing anybody wants to do is hear a sports writer complain about travel. So I want to preface this by saying I'm not complaining. It's just kind of a crazy day. I had initially was supposed to connect through St. Louis, and then that flight got delayed several times to where I wasn't going to make the connecting flight, so then I got put on a flight to D.C. That flight got canceled. Then I switched airlines. Then I got a flight through Detroit. That flight was delayed, and then my connecting flight was delayed, and so I actually landed in Omaha. I think it was at 5:36 local time, so 20 minutes before the tip, and then was able to make it. I was in my seat not even 3.5 minutes into the game. I made it. I literally ran from my Uber to get in the arena, and I had my suitcase bag with me on press row, and it all worked out fine. But it was kind of an insane day. I'm kind of definitely wearing down a little bit, but it's one of those. It was a thing, or just kind of a moment where, you know, you realize like I'm very lucky to get to do what I do, and I very much enjoy what I get there, that I get to do what I do. And so there was never any point where I was like, man, this sucks. Why am I doing this? I'm just gonna go home. Like, I really like this job, and I really like getting to cover this team and this program, and I feel very lucky that people listen to me ramble here at 1:07 in the morning about a crazy travel day. But just know that at no point was I ever like, man, this is not worth it. I enjoy every aspect of this job, and I'm very lucky to have it, and so I hope that comes across. So I'm going to get out of here before I say anything else too sentimental or too goofy. Thank you to Patrick, the Podfather, back at the studio for hopefully making this sound a little bit better. I hope nobody in either of the rooms or next to me has been disturbed by the sound of my voice. Either way, I probably need to shut up now. So thank you very much, everyone. Thanks for listening. I'll be back on Wednesday. Thanks.
And subscribe to the Buckeye Extra podcast in the iTunes Store, the Google Play Store, or on Stitcher.